All right, welcome to Ask the Mayor. We're back in Bloomington again, as always. Thank you so much for having us here today. So much to talk about.
Glad to be with you, Joe.
So much going on, isn't
it? Always a lot happening.
All the time. I wanted to get right to the Tech Park or Trades District. Felt like that's been in the news a lot lately. And there seems to be a little bit of confusion just from what I've read in some of the Herald Times in terms of the direction of the park from some of the city member planning commission, city council. Can you just give us a little bit of an update of where the Tech Park is now and what direction it's going in your mind?
Sure, absolutely, Joe. You know, from the earliest time in this office, the Tech Park's been a very important activity for us. And there's a bit of frustration in the community because the city bought the Tech Park quite a few years ago, and it's taken a while, a past administration and city, to try to get it lined up for what we want. We're now at a spot where we have investors interested in the properties. We're going to move ahead with the Dimension Mill building, centered with the Bloomington Economic Development Corporation's kind of the key tenant there, if you will, and a lot of exciting opportunities. We have to make some decisions to make sure the infrastructure is getting in place, and you know, that's a big word and it's a lot of details in the background, but people pay attention to it. So there's a little bit of a discussion about exactly what should that infrastructure look like. And the Redevelopment Commission is reviewing it. They're actually meeting Monday, the 15th of August, to review that again. And I think they'll make a decision. You know, I decided a few months ago, after a lot of discussion and reviews, not to spend a bunch of money to straighten 10th Street, so we made that decision. But we're still making some decisions on the street layouts in the Trades District and getting the engineers to make sure we can do what we want to do. So it's a natural process. There's a lot of different viewpoints. You know, you can't build a building by committee. You can't design everything by committee. But we're at a place where I think we're going to be seeing some very exciting opportunities ahead.
And that's, you know, kind of the thing, right? Like, what comes first? Do you design the block or do you wait for a developer that may want to take up a larger piece? So how do you tackle that?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, really, the city, when we purchased this, we created the opportunity to try to build a dynamic, job-focused new center in the community. So we have to be thinking, I have to be thinking, 10, 20, 30 years down the road, 40 years down the road, what do we do now to try to maximize the value for the community as a whole? So it's really making sure you got the water and the digital and the street infrastructure that's there so that regardless of what happens right now, we're creating a new neighborhood that will work for decades to come. So we're doing that. We're trying to make the basic fundamental investments that'll be there.
I just saw where there's some of the tech firms creating a network called the Neighborhood Digital Alliance, it sounds pretty neat. They're all kind of coming together saying, this is what we're looking for. I assume this is good news for you.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a group of the tech companies. There's a lot of tech companies in town, but a group of them have come together thinking about what they want in a building, what they would like in a tech park for them. And that's great, because if 12 of them come together, that's easier than, first of all, some of them aren't big enough, so joining forces makes sense. And it's easier to come together and create a really exciting new opportunity for them. So we're very pleased to look at what they might want to do in the tech park.
The only one thing that article seemed to mention, they talked about space, mm-hmm. something that Bloomington may not have enough of. Is that an issue?
Well, you know, the city bought 12 acres. We have 12 acres. I've said from the beginning that needs to focus on jobs, not housing. We'll have some housing, but it's got to focus on jobs. The balance of open space versus productive or office space jobs, if you will, is important. I think we'll get that right. How much of it is exactly, is it all in one place? Is the open space in one place? Is it scattered around? You know, we're trying to create a neighborhood that will have the dynamic walkability, exciting urban feel today and 20 and 30 and 40 years from now. So it's kind of doing the basics right.
There was another article about Cook Group being interested too, of course, a huge campus over there on the west side, but looking to have some type of imprint on the downtown, which sounds promising too. Are they
Absolutely.
Serious about that?
Well, you know, Cook's obviously the largest private employer we have in the region. It's been a huge impact on our community, a wonderful employer and partner. And they, of course, the downtown is what it is in significant part because of Cook investments. So we know they're invested in downtown, and reading those articles and talking, we meet regularly with their leadership. I'm very excited about any opportunities we might explore with them for additional investment downtown. And I'm certainly looking forward to sitting down with them again. We do it regularly. They'd be a great partner. And as I've told to them, look, if we're creating a trades district for a tech park downtown, don't we want Bloomington's biggest tech company? And they are downtown, but we'd love to have as much of them doing more as they want.
So finally, on this, I guess, where are you now and what's next? What can we expect coming up?
Well, as I said, on the 15th is the Redevelopment Commission meeting to decide moving forward on some of this infrastructure design. And I think in the next, we have a housing project that we already know is coming west of Rogers. We've got the mill underway and doing planning for that design. And then we hope to have an announcement or two in the months ahead about other investors into the Trades District. So stay tuned. We're working hard. This stuff doesn't happen with a snap of a finger, but it's moving in the right direction. I'm very pleased with it.
You held a press conference last Wednesday on Bloomington safety, and we talked about installing some cameras and some more work with the Parks Department in terms of keeping more activities in the park to keep out people who may be vagrant in the area. I guess the first thing we could talk about is that the issue of, and we've had listeners who've written in emails about this too, that it is becoming a bigger issue, that definition of homeless versus vagrant, and they're very different, aren't they?
So Joe, it's a complicated issue, and it's a sensitive one for me. I was the president of the Shalom board that works on issues like this. I've been committed to social justice and opportunity for all for my whole working career. You got to be really careful when you talk about this. And this community of Bloomington values diversity, openness. We're a caring place. On the other hand, as mayor, I do get a lot of feedback about concerns about where the downtown is, safety issues, perceptions of safety issues, sense of greater presence. And I know some of my social service friends say they've seen much more activity this summer than even last summer in terms of people who are here in the community who don't have resources or are on our streets more. And it's a complicated issue. What I wanted to do last week was really, as I said, I wasn't there to announce a whole set of solutions. I was there to announce steps we're beginning, processes we're beginning, because we need to address this. Our downtown has to be safe. Our public parks have to be safe, and they have to feel safe. I said last week, we may not have tranquil public places. You can't expect a Disneyland or tranquility. We have a lot of different people with different views, and that's good, but we need to be safe. So we're gonna try some different things, and mainly we have a process in place to get a lot of voices together. Social services, religious leaders, business leaders, community people talking about how do we make sure Bloomington is continuing to become a better Bloomington and that we take grab hold of these issues and talk about them. So that process is underway, and that's important. And I wanted to try a couple other things. As you mentioned, we're going to try a couple cameras, about six, I guess, in four different locations. They're not live monitored cameras. They're recording what's happening. We've had some issues with safety on trails and in the parks, and we want to see if cameras can make a difference. It's a pilot. If they work, we may do more. If they don't work, we'll try something else. We're going to do some work with programming for the parks to try to... We've got a couple downtown parks where a number of citizens just don't feel comfortable going in. Now, I walk through those parks. They're safe, and I think it's important for people. They're our parks. We all own these parks, and we all can be enjoy them, but we're going to try to do a little more programming, look at some different things. I wasn't there to announce a bunch of solutions. I was offering some steps, and this is going to be a process. And it's complicated. It's important we treat everybody with respect. It's important that we not demonize homeless versus vagrants. There are people with mental illness. There are people with addictions. We got to make sure we have services. I also said, it's a long answer to a short question, but I said, you know, we live in a state and a country and a globe, and a lot of pressures change our lives here at the local level. Mental health services are paid at the federal level, detox services, those kinds of things. So it's a lot of work. I'm excited and I'm confident this community will make good progress on it.
And I think it was by coincidence, a week ago, today of the airing of this, we had the same issue come up in Terre Haute with Duke Bennett. And it was, we actually combined your press conference with Terre Haute. And there, they're removing park benches and picnic tables just to remove places for people to sit. And their, I think their crime rate went down 80% within a week because no one had a place to sit. That's kind of extreme, but it's different things that communities are doing. But I assume that's part of what you're trying to do too, is reduce the constant police presence there or making drives back and forth to these parks where they could be doing much other, more worthwhile things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll look at all kinds of things that people are trying. We're not alone in this, as you mentioned Terre Haute, and of course cities all across the country are dealing with this. We will try to learn from what others do that makes that works. But remember, public parks are for the public. Anybody is welcome to be in a public park. Behaviors have to follow certain norms, and if illegal behaviors occur, we're going to take action about it. But you know, a lot of this is reflecting different stresses through the community. You know, employment issues. Again, addiction issues, mental health issues. I like to remind people that of the homeless in our community, and again, that's one set of folks, 40% of them are families with children. Well, most people don't want to blame a family with a child. They don't want to blame a child for the poverty, and they want to try to help get a solution. We have veterans who are still homeless. So, you know, there's important dialogue, efforts. I want to avoid name-calling, avoid blaming, and let's just fix the problem, and we'll work at it and get it done.
I also wanted to just ask you about the master plan. It's the city's vision for the next 5 to 7 years. Transportation, downtown building, IU expansion, probably maybe more the top issues. I'm sure there are others. In your mind, and I know you're asking for public input, what are you hoping to get from the public?
Well, this comprehensive master plan, which we, I think the most recent one was 2002, so it's 14 years ago, and it was probably written 15 years ago, really need to be updated more frequently than that. The design of the plan is to actually look out about 25 years and say, in the built space, the physical space of Bloomington, where do we want it to go? What do we want to look like in terms of parks and trails and streets and the physical infrastructure, built space of buildings and all that. Where do we want to be in 2040? And of course, you know, we'll set that path and then we'll work our way and we'll find we like this or that and we'll change our path as we go. The public input, you know, it's just central to that. And the more people can look at it, read it, react to it, say that's not the way I think about Bloomington, or I would do it this way or that way, that helps us. Nobody should pretend we're going to all agree on every part of this. What we're going to try to get is a plan that moves us in the right direction toward what people want. We know people want open space and trails and a walkable, bikeable community. We know that. How do we get there faster? You know, what do we think are the key steps? We know people have been concerned over, I have and many people have been concerned over the downtown concentration of student housing, lack of affordable housing in lots of places. What do we do about that? What are some steps? And I'll be talking about that soon. We're preparing the budget for the next year and all that gets weighed in. So the comprehensive plan and then the zoning ordinance that comes out of it are very important, and the more people can pay attention to it, the better they'll be.
Do you feel like what is there now really fully addresses the main issues? Transportation, growing community, infrastructure?
I think the topics are there. I mean, I think we've got some issues to think about. Our region is going to grow. We've got a new highway that's coming through, whether you like it or not. We have a university that's growing. We have employers who want new employees. Cook has 150 vacancies they're trying to fill. So how do we want to grow? What do we want the density to look like? Let's make sure we're creating a sustainable community, one that feels good for everybody in it. I think about creating new densities in certain new neighborhoods that might may be a little different from downtown, but they still feel like, hey, I love downtown, but I'm a Switchyard Park resident, and that's my thing, or I'm a Trades District resident, or, you know, let's think about densifying how we do that well. So there's a lot of exciting opportunities ahead.
You mentioned I-69, back in the news again. And there was a forum, I think, on just this past Friday here, yes, at City Hall. What did you learn? I think a lot of people are wondering, what is going on?
Well, Joe, that was frustrating. I've driven back and forth, like many, many people from Bloomington or coming to Bloomington, and it's taken too long. We're behind schedule. We know that. We had about an 8-month delay. It was supposed to originally be done in October of this year. The new open for traffic date is the end of June 2017. But one of the reasons I asked this meeting to happen last week was we had the bond rating agency saying, doesn't look like you're on track to get done in June 2017. So they actually downgraded the bonds to a junk bond status. That's concerning. It's a complicated, it's obviously a huge project. There are a lot of different views about it. At the meeting, I said, I don't want to discuss the structure, the corporate structure of the partner. But there were two things that were really important to me. One, when the state does a big project like this, it has to be efficient. And when you're going to do a public-private partnership, you're doing that to be efficient. Well, everybody who's driven in there knows there were a lot of periods when they weren't working on the road. We later found out they weren't paying the contractor, so they weren't working. Well, that's not efficient. And second is transparency. You've got to be transparent. Let us know what's going on. So we had a meeting. We're going to have another meeting in about 60 days to see where we are, because they're behind schedule on their new schedule, significantly behind schedule. And all we heard was we have the contractors have the capabilities to perform. Well, that's kind of a lawyer answer. They have the capability to perform. I don't care about, I want to know, are they going to perform? And if not, what's going to happen? So, you know, these are big projects. I understand delays happen. I know I'll have projects where delays happen. But efficiency is important. Transparency is essential. And that's what I'm going to keep pushing for.
Back to school. It's a little busy out there again.
Yeah.
What's your message to all the new, we have freshmen in town, new parents? A word from the mayor?
well, you know, the public school started last week, and I got one in public school, so he's already in school. And then, of course, IU comes back. It's exciting, right? It's exciting. It's a town. We get a burst of new energy and new people coming in, and that's dynamic and energizes our community. Yes, sometimes they drive the wrong way on a one-way street. Sometimes they park in the wrong spot. Sometimes they're blocking our sidewalks. And so we're all patient with that. They're new residents coming to town. We welcome them to town. It's exciting. We want them to be safe. We want them to be responsible. A lot of them live out in the community, not on campus. Be good neighbors, both sides, students and residents, you know, longtime residents. Let's be good neighbors to each other. But look, Indiana University is such an essential part of our community. It's always exciting to have the new people and some who we miss, who are gone. They've gone away. It's particularly exciting this time of year looking at IU with the Olympians. That's kind of fun. That's a new twist with some of our local residents who are setting the world on fire athletically down in Rio. So that's good.
I wanted to end. We had a comment from a listener who is looking to raise money for a monument in Bloomington from a Captain Catherine Janeway. I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan or not, but believe it or not, that 24th century Starfleet officer of USS Voyager, fictional,
yeah,
was born in Bloomington, Indiana.
No, is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
May 20th of the year, somewhere between 2328 to 2336.
We don't know her exact age?
Somewhere in there,
somewhere in there.
It's kind of up for debate if you start looking at
on the
internet. Yeah.
But Bloomington.
But a local resident wants to have some type of tourist attraction of this. And she's looking to raise some money. Would the mayor support that?
First of all, it's good to know we're around then, 2300, then that's good. And I love that about Bloomington. Sure, people thinking about all kinds of interesting ways. That's the first monument for a future fictional birth that I'm aware of, but why not?
Talk Absolutely. About a master plan.
That's for how many years out? 300 years yeah, or plus yeah. out? Sure.
Should we start working on the 2328 master plan?
Well,
I wonder what Bloomington will look like.
That's a great question. You know, we're coming up on 200 here in a couple years. And I bet if you ask the people who are here in 1816, they could not have predicted what we would look like in 2016. But I bet they'd have a great time if they came to visit. Maybe that'll be the case for us.